Good morning and welcome to the ISDA conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Yanni Martes. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for bearing with us. Apologies for the considerable delay. We had some issues with the conference line. So we'll try to run through this quickly, make sure that we capture everything. Again, we want to discuss this morning the 2014 Collateral Agreement Negative Interest Protocol. A couple of things. We circulated an updated draft of the document on Monday. It was marked against the last draft that was circulated to the public, which was back in March. March 12th was the last time we circulated a draft of the protocol, at which time we had asked for fatal flaw comment. In the meantime, we discussed with various groups questions, concerns, which we'll discuss today on the call. This is the last document, which we are shooting to be basically the pre-publication version, circulated on Monday, is what we will discuss, changes to it. We also circulated last Friday the frequently asked questions. One thing I wanted to raise about the document is, as opposed to our usual protocol FAQs, which are fairly perfunctory in terms of adherence process, this one contains some commercial background and substantive points on the inner works of the protocol. And it's because ultimately it's also intended to be akin to a market guidance document as to how to use the protocol. So for that, I will pass it on to Mike Clark, which can give the group a bit of more detail as to this background and the substantive portion, after which Eileen Froom will go over the protocol itself, the changes to that previous version, and the FAQs. So with that, Mike, please.
Sure. Thanks, Yanni. So just to recap, and some of you may have been on prior calls and be aware of this, but for those who weren't, I'll go back a little bit to the beginning. So it was actually almost a year and a half ago that the Collateral Steering Committee was asked to take a look at the then newish problem of negative interest rates that was setting in certain currencies and how they were impacting the CSAs, and in particular how the CSAs either did or did not handle those negative setting rates very well. So a study group was formed and essentially spent a period of time looking at the commercial aspects of this, what was the desirable outcome, what were the issues with that, and what were some of the problems that were associated with historical market practice and the use of these documents, which might mean that we were limited as to what we could do. For example, if parties have already determined bilaterally to put a floor in on rates, then that obviously is a decision that they've made. If they've made other amendments, they've also made positive changes to the CSA, and it would be impossible and inappropriate indeed for any kind of industry protocol to seek to undo or to change those. So with that as background, what we concluded was that it was appropriate that when negative OIS rates were setting in different currencies, that as a general matter, those should flow through CSAs and generate negative interest amounts. The group then moved on to think about, well, practically how would you give effect to that desirable outcome? And the conclusion was that we could do so via a protocol if we were to restrict the scope of the operation of the protocol to only those agreements essentially that had not been amended or tinkered with by the counterparties bilaterally. So when Eileen talks in a moment about the protocol, I think she'll address the included and the excluded agreement types. Just to be clear, though, it was not the intent of the working group that just because an agreement is excluded from the protocol, there should be any different commercial outcome. I think the intention was that, in general, we would expect negative rates to flow through CSAs unless parties have particularly contracted for anything different. So the exclusion of certain documents, which Eileen will talk about, is purely because you've amended them and we don't know how you've amended them, and therefore it would be dangerous for a protocol just to wade into your amended documents without knowing what was actually there and start changing things around. So We've excluded them from the protocol with the intention that parties should be free to bilaterally make essentially the same amendments that the protocol does, but they'll have to do so bilaterally with care because they've amended the document. So that, I think, is the commercial background to this. In terms of timing, we're looking to finish this project and publish the protocol for adoption very shortly. I think we're targeting next week. Let me pass over to Eileen to take us through what it actually says.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. So before I begin, I want to just note something. I realize some people on the call might have been on a lot of previous calls, and maybe some people haven't been. So one of the most common comments I get from people is changes that they'd like me to make to one of the collateral documents in respect of positive interest amounts. And so when you're looking at the protocol, bear in mind that if at some point in the future ISDA updates the collateral agreements, that those comments, you know, are good things to keep in mind and provide at that time, but that the purpose of the protocol was just to address negative interest rates and how collateral documentation should respond to something being a negative interest rate, and not really opening up the entire collateral documentation infrastructure to change positive interest rate mechanics. Again, it's not that these aren't good comments. They are, but they're sort of for another time. So that was just something I wanted to clarify. So for those of you who haven't been involved in the process previously, the idea of the negative interest rate protocol is that if you have one of the ISDA-published collateral documents, the English Law CSA, Credit Support Deed, New York Law CSA, et cetera, there are six published collateral agreements published by ISDA, that you can use this protocol to address what happens unless that collateral agreement is somehow excluded, if the interest amount for an interest period is negative. So for any given interest period, the interest amount may be positive, it may be negative. So you're just looking interest period by interest period. And what the protocol is designed to do is say, well, you know, if it's not, you know, doesn't contain some type of exclusion, some type of provision that excludes it from being a protocol-covered collateral agreement, and the interest amount for that interest period is negative, then basically the pledgor will pay the absolute value of the negative interest rate to the secured party. And bear in mind, and the protocol does address the fact that different collateral agreements published by ISDA use different terminology for the party that's the secured party and the parties that's the pledgor, and that's part of the architecture that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But that's the idea of it, that basically when the collateral agreements were published, there wasn't really a reference to what happens if the interest amount goes negative, and this is really to clarify, you know, what those results are. Now, granted, some people, you know, may think, well, you know, some rates have, by the way, some interest rates have gone negative in the past, and you may think, well, in the current interest rate environment, rates may or may not go negative again. But the idea of this is that, you know, you have your collateral agreement for a long time, and rather than wait for that to happen and then have to amend your collateral agreement at the time, you've created this amendment now, and it takes care of that issue should it come up. So that's basically the general version, you know, the mechanics. So just to get into a couple of quick things, once you adhere to the protocol and another party adheres to the protocol, then, but for certain exceptions, you've amended your collateral agreement between you and any other party that's adhered to the protocol. There are some carve-outs, and let me just go through some of them. One carve-out is if you needed but didn't get third-party consent. And I've also gotten a lot of questions and feedback on that. And I want to point out that this was in the EMIR protocol. It's in other protocols, and it's something that, you know, is something that ISDA is including in protocols. It may not be in every prior protocol, but going forward it's going to be, I think, in many other protocols. And the idea there is if I needed the consent of the guarantor, let's say to amend my CSA or it wouldn't be effective, then you don't amend that particular CSA, although there is this concept of deemed third-party consent, which you can read about in the protocol and in the FAQs. So as an example, let's say that another party is an adhering party, but they're also a guarantor under a different CSA. They're deemed to have consented. So, you know, that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, if you, let's say that you've adhered to the protocol and with every other adhering party, you've got, let's say, 100 CSAs that would be protocol-covered CSA collateral agreements. But there's one particular counterparty with whom you don't want to, who also adhere to the protocol, but you don't want to amend your collateral agreement. You can decide bilaterally to treat it as excluded. And then the last example is the one that Mike was talking about, which are protocol-excluded modifying provisions. And, you know, two of the big ones are spread provision. So if in your CSA, your, you know, paragraph 13, your paragraph 12, your annex, you say that the interest rate is, let's say, Ionia minus 10 basis points, that's considered a spread provision. And we don't override the CSA to say, you know, the protocol doesn't override that CSA. Not because we think that the negative interest amount shouldn't be paid by the pledgor, but because there was enough bilateral negotiation to not use the sort of standard of just a flat interest rate that we think it should be for the parties to address themselves. There's also something called the unilateral posting provision. The unilateral posting provision says if you have a CSA that can only ever go one way. I say the pledgor will always be party A and the secured party will always be party B or the obligor, obligee, et cetera. And then, you know, then that's not a covered collateral agreement. If you've designated something unusual in the interest amount alternative provision, so if there's something alternative that you've specified, so rather than Fed funds or Ionia, you've said interest will be, you know, the rate of the S&P over the Russell 2000, you know, that would be excluded. If you have a no interest provision where you say, you know, no, you know, there'll be, the interest amount will be zero. So those are some basic ones. One of the ones that's a little more complicated is the custodial interest provision. So let's say that you've decided as a client that you want the dealer to segregate the independent amount, but that variation margin will be posted between the parties. What the custodial interest provision says is the portion of the interest amount that relates to the variation margin that's pledged between the parties, that's considered included, but the portion that is under that custodial agreement, if that custodial agreement deals with interest or investment of the independent amount, that's in cash, then that's outside the scope of the protocol. Now, something that we did recently, which you only would have, we'll see in the next draft, but it's pretty basic, and it's not in the protocol. It's something that I think we're going to include just on the website where you have the protocol posted, is we created an opt-in agreement. And what the opt-in agreement says is notwithstanding the fact that the collateral agreement between Party A and Party B contains one or more protocol excluded modifying provisions, we'd like to treat this agreement as covered by the protocol. And that way, even if your CSA or credit support deed or 2001 margin provisions has the interest rate as, let's say, Ionia minus 10 basis points, rather than say that agreement is not amended by the protocol, if you enter into an opt-in agreement, which you have to do bilaterally, counterparty by counterparty, then that even though there's a spread, if Ionia minus 10 basis points, if that difference is ever negative, then, again, the pledgor will pay the absolute value. Same thing with unilateral. Even though it's a one-way CSA, you may say, well, you know what, if it goes negative, I still think the pledgor should pay the secured party. What's important to note is we created the protocol excluded modifying provision definition, not because we always thought these should be excluded, but the working group thought that this should be left to the parties, because most CSAs just have a flat interest rate, Fed funds, EONIA, some benchmark. And that spread and unilateral posting provisions were sort of outliers, so that parties should be able to opt into having those covered by the protocol if they wanted to. So you'll see this form of opt-in letter. Now, I want to lastly talk about the attachment, which is different than other attachments you may have seen in the past. We actually go through the trouble of saying, here's how the 1994 New York Law CSA will be amended, and then there's a bunch of provisions that tell you what has to happen. We'll say, here's a section on how the 1995 English Law Credit Support Deed will be amended, and so on and so on. And we do this with all of the six is the collateral agreements, and just to run through them, it's the New York Law 1994 CSA, the 1995 English Law CSA, the 1995 English Law Credit Support Deed, the 1995 Japanese Law Credit Support Annex, the 2008 Japanese Law Credit Support Annex, and the 2001 Margin Provisions. And, you know, some of the questions have been like, well, why couldn't you just say, if you've entered into any six of those agreements, here's how things are amended? And the reason that we did that is because these six documents, although similar in many respects, had enough differences, either in terminology or provisions that might have been in one but not the other, that we really felt it was important to amend them separately to avoid confusion. Even just what you call the secured party and the pledgor. Is it the charger? Is it the obligor, obligee, transferor, provider? It would be very confusing to try to just do a one-size-fits-all. And because of that, if for some reason you've entered into some type of collateral posting documentation that is not one of the ISDA published forms, the protocol will not apply to that agreement. And you could look at the technology of the protocol if you want to do your own bilateral amendment. But to be clear, the protocol would only have as an option amending one of those six agreements. So I think that's a pretty good general overview. You know, there are some conforming type changes. So for example, if you've said for positive interest amount, this gets paid on the second local business day following the end of each month, you don't have to create a new definition for when you pay a negative interest amount. It's just the same. We assumed it should be the same date. It's just a question of which party pays which and then making this absolute value concept. So there's a lot of mechanical changes that were required, even though it's a very simple concept. If it's negative, the party that's pledging collateral pays the absolute value. There are a lot of technical changes that are required because of the way interest amount is embedded in these collateral agreements. Just something else that would be helpful is, you know, we have an FAQs facts that will be published with the protocol on ISDA's website, and you can always use that as, you know, to help answer any questions that you might have. We really try to address all the types of questions we've gotten to date. And with that, Yanni, unless there's something else that you think we should say at this point, maybe should we open it for questions? Or
you know, yes, sure. I think then that'll be the next best step. Let's go over questions. Operator, please.
Okay. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star and then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Again, if you have a question, please press star and then one.
So, I mean, I think if there are no questions, you know, maybe, you know, the best thing would be for people to, you know, look at the protocol, look at the FAQs. I think in the future we may do an additional webinar, you know, and you know, if people have questions at that time, they can also ask.
And, Yanni, in terms of publication date, it is what, Monday still?
Yeah, that was the target day, publishing on our website and opening it for adherence on May 12th, which is next Monday. So perhaps after the call, we'll send a reminder with the documents again attached via email, encouraging any fatal flaw comments or any questions. And we'll, of course, send a notice of publication should there be no other issues, and we're on target for the 12th.
And I think I'll just add one other thing, which is that we would very much love for the adoption on this protocol to be both rapid and massive. So if firms are thinking that negative rates is an issue that concerns you and you'd like to resolve it in this way, which hopefully you will, then I would encourage everybody to, as soon as possible after it opens for adoption, please sign up to it. We'd like to make this a broad-based effort and one that gathers some momentum. So please take that back to your colleagues and be prepared to sign up as soon as possible after it goes live next week.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks, Eileen. Thanks, everyone. Apologies again for the considerable delay starting. But again, feel free to email me with any questions, any comments, and we'll follow up via email.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.